Artorama Podcast.
Hi Benoit, thank you very much for your time to do this Artorama podcast.
So it's a pleasure for me. Thank you.
So let's begin this conversation by addressing the beginning. So you started to collect by accident through a friend, right? Could you tell me how was it? And how was the beginning of this process, besides the show of André Marot and the Imaginary Museum played a great deal on your art interest as well, right?
Yes, yeah, so it started by accident in a way because when I was younger, I traveled a lot, so I had a lot of interest. And so as I was trying to see museums in new cities that I didn't know. And so there was a kind of connection between traveling and seeing art in museum. So it started like that. And there was no, at the beginning, interest in contemporary art in a way. And I was very interesting in a documentary that I had the chance to see about André Malraux. And the name was Journal de Voyage with André Malraux. The other name was At the Research of the Art of All Worlds. And in this documentary, there was also a connection, a strong connection between traveling and art. And so after seeing this documentary on French television, I tried to read some books about André Malraux, and there was one who stuck me. It was The Imaginary Museum. And also some book about, the name was The Metamorphosis of Gods. And he was talking about surnatural and temporal and irreal. And there was a mix between the traveling and also the concept of everybody could have his own imaginary museum. So it starts by this idea to collect inside your mind, even if you are not able to collect physical art. And so after, by chance, I was able to collect because I met a friend of mine who was a doctor like mine, and his brother was an artist at the School of Fine Arts in Bordeaux. And by him, I was able to meet some artists. So it started like that in a way.
Oh, that's really interesting. And you mentioned once that contemporary art started in a form of naivety. Could you tell me more about this process, about how this idea played out in your during this beginning?
In a way, it was that I was more interested in classical art or ancient art or archaeologic art than in contemporary art. But I wasn't naive about the fact that it was complicated for me to collect some ancient art because probably it was more expensive. I don't know. It was a kind of idea. And I knew that probably contemporary art would be also difficult, but when I was able to meet an artist, and he was a teacher at the School of Fine Arts, his name is Franck Eon, I was able to do a kind of studio visit. And even in a way, if I wasn't conscious that it was a studio visit, because I was going to the studio of an artist, and it was the first time. And at the time, he didn't have a proper gallery, so I was able to see some works, to have a discussion with him, and because I was interested in one piece of painting, abstract painting, I was able to buy to him directly, and it was the first time. So it was a kind of accident. And it was the beginning of something. But at that time, I didn't know that it was the beginning of something, in a way.
It's interesting how it reminded me how you mentioned about the accident, you know, how things happen by accident. For example, when you were invited to a dinner and seated next to Jennifer Flade, how was the learning curve for you? I mean, how was this process evolving through time?
It evolves step by step because, in a way, the journey from the studio of Franck Eon to be sitting next to Jennifer Flade was induced by Franck Eon, because Franck Eon, after a while, had a gallery in Bordeaux. And it was the beginning of a young gallery, of a young gallerist. His name is Thomas Bernard. And he was quite successful at the beginning, but in a very quick success, in a way, because he was able to do Lister, maybe 1 or 2 years after the opening of his gallery and after Fiac. So I went to Lister with him. He was also representing a new artist. The name is Benoît Mer, which is a well-known French artist now, but at this time, Benoît was just a young artist after a school of fine arts also. So I was able to collect a lot of pieces of the beginning of Benoît Mer. So it was this kind of connection between a young artist, young gallerist, and probably a young collector who wasn't who wasn't really a collector at that time. So I went to a dinner next to Jennifer Flay, and the funny thing is that when I talked to her and she talks to me, she asks what I was doing. I'm a radiologist based in Bordeaux, and she told me that she was director of FIAC, but at that time I didn't know at all what was FIAC. So I tell her that I didn't know, and it was quite a funny moment. Because I was in Lister with all people of contemporary art, and me, I was kind of alien to this world in a way, because I didn't have a real interest in the art world, the so-called art world at that time, because I was naive about all these things. You know?
And then right now it's like 20 years of collecting.
So yeah, I could say 20. I was thinking about it recently. Maybe it's 17, but it's something like that. I'm not sure about the beginning exactly. But it's a long, it's a long time anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a long time, exactly. Mm-hmm. You told me once that there was no thinking. I mean, there was no like structured thoughts of at the beginning, you know. And the interesting thing to me is that you mentioned about the medium that it's not important, the medium itself, and I mean by the medium the painting, installation, photography. And I'm not sure, I would love to if you could tell us a little bit more about it, you know. What do you mean by it's not important, the medium, you know?
I will not think about categorization of a medium of a work, because I'm more interested about probably the meaning of the word. And like we talk together about the kind of poetic atmosphere of an artwork. So it could be a painting, it could be a photography, it could be an installation. And I have no plan about having paintings, percentage of paintings or photography. It's just happened like that. And I have no difficulties to change of medium. And so, yes, there is also a funny anecdote about that, because we are very friends with Jérôme Pantalecci, the director of Arturama. So we were doing a visit of a private collection, I think in Marseille. I don't remember where, but probably it was in Marseille. And there was maybe 1 or 2 neons. And Jérôme jokes to me that I didn't have yet a neon, so probably I probably don't have, for the moment, a complete collection, because the true collector should have a kind of neon. So it was funny, and it was a kind of private joke. And during Art Basel Online, I was interested in a piece of work by Francisco Troppa. And 2 years or 3 years ago, I don't remember exactly, but I have seen a very beautiful show of Francisco at Café, or Grand Café, sorry, at Saint-Nazaire. And I started to collect Francisco after. He did a residency in Bordeaux, residency Solaris, that I co-organized. And so there was a neon, the name is Café. And it was a red, there was a part of a piece of work which is a red neon. And I saw the piece in Grand Café, so I decided to buy it at Art Basel Online, which is quite new and unusual for me, because I don't really believe in online art fair, but we will see in the future. And so, still, now I have a neon. Jérôme should be happy, probably.
For sure. For sure. And you mentioned before about the poetic atmosphere, that is, that the work with that is captivates you. I thought about which kind of poetry do you like, and it seems they need to be, I mean, the words, they need to be connected with travel or philosophy, right? Could you mention some poets topics of the collection? Sorry.
Yes. In a way, it's related to poetry and to presence. And there is a French poet and critic of art that I like very much. His name is Yves Bonnefoy. He wrote a lot of art critique, and he tried. as I understand, every time to try to catch the notion of presence in the world and presence in art world. I would say that when I am interesting or moved by a piece of art, it will be because I'm able to relate it to some poetry or some connection also with history of art, because I have a lot of interest in history in general. So best piece of art for me will be a kind of mix between a lot of references to history of art with poetic atmosphere. And this idea of presence is something which is very important for me. And for example, I listened a few years ago some French critic of art, the name is Daniel Arras, and it was Histoire de Peinture. And Daniel Arras was a kind of specialist of Léonard de Vinci, and he was explaining something which is, I think, very moving. He went for the first time to the Museum of Cracovia, and he wanted to see the painting of Leonardo da Vinci, which is the lady with an ermine at Cracovia, and it was the first time. And he went there, there was a lot of people, and he saw for the first time the work, and it was a big disappointment. And he was very surprised about that, and very disappointed also by himself, in a way, because he knew that the work was a great work, but he didn't understand why he wasn't able to catch it, even if he had seen it a lot, and he was probably... he knew the piece very well, but he didn't see it physically. And so he wait, but long time. I think he explained that it took him maybe a few hours. And at what moment, something happened. And he's not able to explain what happened, but he says in French, le tableau s'est levé. It means the painting rises. And it was just one moment. And at this moment, he didn't need to see it again, and he went away, left the museum. But he was happy because he was able to see properly, probably the presence of the painting.
Oh wow, that's a really, really nice story. And besides the art history and poetry, how invisibility, the theme of our dear Jérôme, relates to your collection? How do you see it?
Again, I will join it to the idea of presence. I would say that, for example, when I go to a museum or an art fair, and probably I don't see much of them because I'm just looking and nothing happened. And so I would say that in all the visibility of a piece of art in a museum or in an art fair, there is a kind of invisibility because you don't see things at what point. And sometimes there is the idea to try to see something behind the work, maybe because you are able to catch something poetic in my way, but because I have my own history and on my own references, and probably sometimes I do mistake because I think that I see something in a piece of work which is not true. But anyway, it starts like that. It's also the idea of accident in a way, because sometimes you don't know why, but you like something, and after you try to understand why you like it. Sometimes I do a lot of turn inside art fair and with looking very quickly to things, and after I do it again, and sometimes I will stop to a few works, but not so much.
I see. And specifically in your collection, there are really interesting pieces that make relations with this concept of invisibility. For example, Johann Lempert and Francesco Gennari, no?
Yes. There is a few pieces from Johann Lempert which has related probably to invisibility, but there is one which is I think very interesting to illustrate this concept. It's the name is Airplanes in Gymnosperm Woods, and in fact, when you are looking, it's a triptych, and you just see trees and one airplane, and so you think, well, it's quite beautiful, but it's just tree and airplane. But in a way, it's something more because you are looking to fossil trees, which are the gymnosperm, and this is probably the most ancient seed production plants. And there is a huge gap between the fossil tree and the airplane, fossil to modernity. So you see something more in a way when you catch all the dots of this work. And also for Francesco Gennari, it's very difficult because it's a piece, the name in Italian is Autoritratto tra un quadrato e un triangolo, in primavera, candogli alberi di pesco sono in fiore. Sorry for my bad accent. But in English, it will mean self-portrait between a square and a triangle in springtime when the peach trees are in bloom. And so the piece is very abstract. So when you see it, you just see a kind of geometric abstract sculpture on the ground. But when you read the title, which is very poetic, you start to understand that in a way it's a self-portrait as a recumbent statue in spring when the peach tree are blooming. So I think in this way you are totally poetic and invisible piece of art.
And the and there is as well this gaze into the abyss, Vladnanka, right?
Yeah. Yes, I saw this piece in Arco this year, and it's something very strange because you are looking two small things, a celestial map and a kind of postcard of people looking with some glasses to something. And in fact, you are looking at a map of the stars, a light of the stars in a way, and the light of an atomic explosion in the sunglasses of people who don't know what they are looking for. I think they know what they are looking at, but they don't know about the consequences of what they are looking at in a way. So again, something about the visibility, but the after invisibility about the consequences of all this, and also the connection between the stars and the atomic bomb in a way also.
For sure. Are there other examples that you can mention about this concept in the collection with this specific?
Yes. Sometimes it's in an interpretation, but there is also a piece of Katinka Bock. The name is the Stone of a Gardener, and it's also an abstract sculpture. It's just a small stone with a big stick of metal. But it's related to a story who happened to her, if I remember well, because maybe I will not be precise about that. But as I remember, it's a kind of representation of the scissors of a gardener in Laos who was cutting the grass with scissors. And the stone is the, he was using the stone to sharpen the scissors. So this is the Stone of a Gardener. And it's kind of Sisyphus of a gardener who tried to do something. Because as you remember, she told me that when he was finishing one side, he needs to go back to the other side because we are in Laos, so the grass is growing very quick.
And do you want to speak about one more example, maybe?
Yeah, the last one, because also it's related to a friend, it's Francisco Tropa. And also it's related to Marseille because it's a piece who has been done to Sirva. And so Sirva, I like them very much. And it's a small piece and it's an edition. The name is Talus Trap. And again, it's a small sculpture. And so you are looking to something, really, when you look at it, you don't understand what it is. There is a kind of basement and a kind of geometric glass, piece of glass. And it changes of color, of two different colors between different light. But in fact, it's related to ossicles, because in Roman time, people were using ossicles, to play game. To play dice game. And the funny thing is that Francisco went home to do the residency, and when the Talus Trap arrived, I noticed that the basement was looking as the purse of Francisco, and it was a casting of his purse. So there is something very funny about the fact that he used something very personal to him, his own purse, for a sculpture.
Beautiful. I think it was really, really interesting. And thank you very much, Benoit, for making your collection visible to us.
Artorama Podcast.